I was going to try to do a verbal description of this page. This is from a book by Clarence Larkin, who was writing a long time ago. He was an architect that was called of God, and I think he's done one of the most amazing works on the Revelation. I love his book on Revelation. But he also has a book called Rightly Dividing the Word. And this is the two Advents. And what I wanted you to see the picture of was the cross. Isn't it convenient that our name is Calvary Temple? And all about the cross. The cross, the communion table, and the rapture. Did I get it right? Okay, I wanted to make sure we had it right. But I wanted you to understand the importance of communion has to do with looking back at the cross and the blood of Christ shed. And looking back at the resurrection too. I don't want to leave out the resurrection. I love the teaching of the cross and the price that Jesus paid for us on Calvary. But I also appreciate the resurrection and the ascension and the going back to the Father to make intercession for you and I. That's so very important. And on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 people that were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they looked like a bunch of drunken people to everybody else. And they were asking questions, and Peter defended what they were looking like and said, "These aren't drunk as you suppose, but they've been filled with the Holy Ghost Joel prophesied." And after Peter preached, 3,000 were added to the church. So 3,120 on the day of Pentecost. Today, out of a population of approximately 6.9 billion, and probably about the time we say this, there's probably another several thousand born, right? And unfortunately, there have been some that have passed. But from 3,120 to 2.4 billion Christians today, and that's approximate, and I'm not going to judge any of them whether they're saved or not. This is their confession, and I'm going to pray that every one of them make it to the Lord. Amen? About 33% of the population of the world are Christians. And then that's followed up with Islam, 1.6 billion, 22%. Hinduism, 15 billion, 16%, and secular, non-religious, agnostic, atheist, about 1.1 billion, and that's about 15%. So it goes on down. There's a list of all of the major religions on the little report that I have. But I'm glad that we belong to Jesus, and I appreciate every one of you. We're going to have communion this morning. And when we do, we're going to have a different kind of communion because it's something that you'll open. We're in the high flu season, and I thought, this is a great way not to spread germs. So this is a little different than we normally do. And when we get to that, we will explain how that's going to happen. I would like you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Every Sunday morning, we generally start off listening to Jimmy Swaggart's church service in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And it's a blessing to kind of get ready for church while getting ready for church. And I'm thankful for what they do and the ministry they have. And I notice that oftentimes they do the communion. I don't know the regularity of it. But I do know this, it's a very regular and an important part of their service. They have a lot of people, and they're able to do it rather quickly. I'm not interested in doing it quickly today. I'm interested in us taking our time and let the Lord's Spirit touch every one of you. Again, I think there needs to be big emphasis on healing as we partake of communion. And absolutely a big emphasis on the blood that washes our sin away. I'm thankful for that blood. Amen? Someone said the other day that your voice was better when you were sick. I'm sorry for that. I don't want to stay sick, but at the same time, pray for my voice whenever you get a chance. It used to be a lot clearer. But I want to read this out of the book of 1 Corinthians. We're reading out of the New King James Version, the institution of the Lord's Supper. And Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you." 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. "I delivered to you that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed." You know, I think that's amazing that part is in there. On the same night that he was betrayed. Because although he was betrayed for the benefit of the world. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life." So Jesus was betrayed by Judas, and on that night he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." What does it say right in front on this table? In remembrance of me. And I almost every church I've ever gone to that had a table out front says that, in remembrance of me. So we do this to remember. We do this to understand that this is a part of our faith, a part of our commitment to the Lord, a part of our relationship with the Lord. "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death on the cross till he comes," till the time of rapture for the church. Let's pray today. Lord, we're thankful for mercy. Thank you so much for your mercy. And we pray today, Lord, that you'll bring anointing upon your word and that you'll bring blessing to your people. We need your blessing. Lord, in everything we want to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. And we want, Lord, the leading of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray blessing today upon your people and upon your word, and we honor you and we give you glory. Amen. So this Holy Communion and the institution of it came because the Corinthians were doing it wrong. And Paul had to straighten them out. Paul didn't seem to have any trouble straightening people out. Like a lot of us, he was ready to go, right? To defend what was right. Because Paul realized the preciousness of the communion. And he realized that he did not want people to mess it up. To get their traditions going and their ways. And what they were doing was they were coming and eating a big supper. And people who had lots were eating fancy foods, and there were others who didn't have anything. And Paul said, this is not what we're going to be doing. This is not the way to handle it. This is not the way for you to honor and to remember and to celebrate what Jesus did on the cross, nor to realize and hope for the return of the Lord. You're going to stop doing it this way and focus on what Jesus said and what Jesus did. You're going to not treat each other this way. You're not going to embarrass one another. And you're not going to look down on one another. You're going to come in all the same and partake together and remember what Jesus did on the cross. So division set the tone for the teaching. How to eat the Lord's Supper. And there is a lot of divisions that come to churches. All kinds of things cause division. But God has called us and given us a vision of what he wants us to do as a church and as a body. And God has given us the provision to be able to do that. Amen? And then the devil comes along and wants to throw a monkey wrench into it. I don't know why they say monkey wrench into the works, but monkey wrenches can be a problem if thrown into the works. But a division, and that is to die out the vision, right? You've got a vision, you've got provision, and then something comes along. Our church has gone through division because of doctrines, and we wanted to stay true to the founding of our church and to the truth of God's word, and we did not want to go off into some other way of doing things. We did not want to forget about the blood of Christ and the stripes that he bore and all that saves us and keeps us saved. So this morning, as you visualize and or as you look at the paper that Clarence Larkin did, aren't you glad he had such a talent that he could show the church and that we're going to be sustained by at least these two things? There's a lot of things that keep us going as a church. But one of the greatest things is to remember the sacrifice of Christ. And then also have the hope of his return. We spoke a few weeks ago or last week or whenever about the return of the Lord. He's coming back again. But we need to remember and visualize the cross and then hold the hope of the rapture in our hearts. And when we come together and we remember the Lord in communion and we partake, there's something about partaking of that. We don't believe that the little wafer becomes the body of Christ as you eat it, nor the blood, the cup, the blood. We believe that it's a symbol of, and it reminds us of, and we want to take within our bodies that reminds us of what the Lord did. In the book of Luke, Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. And it's very similar to what Paul wrote. And Jesus did it with his disciples. He spoke even of the one that would betray him. But verse 14 says, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. When Jesus spoke these words, he had not yet offered sacrifice, but he was getting them ready. And he said, I'm not going to take it anymore, but you are. You're going to do it in remembrance of me. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took the bread and he gave thanks, very much like what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do you in remembrance of me. I spoke earlier about the scripture that says, by his stripes ye are healed. I don't think I've ever seen such a need of healing of what Debbie's gone through in the last few weeks. It's been, every time we thought she was over something, it seemed like something else came along. And she dealt with the flu, she dealt with the sinus infection, and she dealt with low blood pressure that was unbelievable. But today she's doing some better, but I'm praying that God raise her up with strength supernaturally. Why? Because this is what we desire and Jesus died for it. It's not a matter of what we do, and it's not a matter of what we so much of who we are. What it's a matter of is what Christ did on the cross. It's a matter that he bore those stripes for our healing, and we want to enjoy and participate in that. And then it says that, likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood, which was shed for you. And we know there's a song that Brother Watson used to sing, love grew where the blood fell. And we know that the blood of Christ gave us a hope. You know, the blood of the animals covered sin for a bit, but the blood of Christ erases sin forever. 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 It's amazing. There's nothing in this world that gives you the promise of, if you just ask in my name, I'll forgive you of all sin, and I will cleanse you. We have a covenant that the Lord has given to us, and he gave his life and his blood on Calvary for you and I to enjoy this covenant. And all we have to do is agree and come and submit to him. Praise God. We sang a lot about the cross today and the blood, and that, you know what? That fits right with what we want to do. When I was growing up in Alameda as a young child, we had a brother. I don't know that he was a deacon. I don't know if we even had deacons. That'll scare some people, delight others. But Brother Lundquist passed out the communion. Now, there was a lot of kids in the church, and he would look down at us and say, are you doing all right? Should you be taking this? And he knew that kids were going to be kids, right? Brother Lundquist used to call me Chuck. He said, Chuck, when you get older, you're going to really be able to preach because you'll have stories to tell. And he realized I hadn't lived long enough, 16, 17 years old, to have too many stories. He called me Chuck because I reminded him of Chuck Connor that was a rifleman. I didn't care because I loved the rifleman. I didn't even know that he'd been a baseball player so much. But Brother Lundquist wanted to make sure that everybody was doing pretty good in taking communion. A little later, we had a pastor named Mark Wood. And Brother Wood was real open for the children to take communion. Matter of fact, he encouraged it. He said it's good for them to know and to be trained and to be taught. He said, and he wasn't excluding anybody in taking communion. That's the way our church is too. Everybody's welcome to communion as long as you're born again. And I understand what scripture comes after what we've read out of 1 Corinthians. I understand that the Bible says, let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I understand that it speaks of eating damnation to yourself. And let me tell you what that means. That means if you don't value the blood of Christ and the broken body of Christ, you don't want to mess with this. But if you do, you want a fellowship, you want to draw closer to the Lord, you want to be benefited today, take this communion and let it be like a big spiritual vitamin that'll boost you up and bring blessing to you. We want to remember Christ. We want to remember the suffering. I've seen the Passion of Christ. How many seen the movie? The Passion, I think it's called The Passion of Christ. Mel Gibson did it. And it was horrible what Jesus, and I've heard people preach that and describe in lengthy detail how much he suffered. Let's just say Jesus gave everything on the cross. He did. But now he is no longer on that cross. He arose from the grave. He ministered for 40 days, and then he ascended to the Father, and the angel said, why are you standing here looking up? This same Jesus that you've seen go will come again in like manner, but you need to go and obey him. And what did he say? Go to Jerusalem and wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, and then you can go and minister to the whole world. But the scripture is repeated, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. We remember the hurt body, the many stripes that he bore. We remember the blood that he shed on Calvary. And we remember his resurrection, ascension, and the fact that he's coming again to receive us unto himself. So Calvary is the past, the purchase of our salvation. Now living is the communion table that we have before us, the present, and the hope is that he's coming again and that he's going to receive the church unto himself. And then there's another part of that second coming that'll be after the Battle of Armageddon and the establishment of the millennial reign or the kingdom age, and that is future at this point. So we look forward to the rapture. The Bible says Christ himself will descend. Jesus is not sending Michael or Gabriel or anybody else. He's coming back for his church. Yesterday we were pulling out the driveway and I asked Debbie, I said, do you and I share the same favorite Beatles song? I said, what's your favorite Beatles song? She wouldn't tell me. She said, you tell me first. I said, mine is Love, Love Me Do. How many remember? That's ancient history, isn't it? Love, Love Me Do. Debbie said, that's not my favorite. She said, matter of fact, I don't think there's any song that would be our, we would share. And she said her favorite was When I'm 64 or something like that. When I turn 64. Okay. She said, that's about the same as asking about your Fats Domino song. I said, hey, I can tell you what Fats Domino song is the best. Blueberry Hill comes to mind. One of my cousins posted a picture of a red 1957 Chevy. And that thing looks so good. And it cost $34,000. When it was brand new, it probably cost $2,700. I think about that. My dad had one. It wasn't that pretty. Wasn't that nice. It wasn't a V8. It was a straight six. But there's a lot of things that we remember. And as we get older, some of those memories give us comfort. And, you know, just look at that. I looked at that car and I smiled. I'm not a Chevy guy. But the 57 Chevy's got a bring a smile to your face, and other things that we remember. But what I want us to do is, when we're partaking of our communion today, I want you to have a smile in your heart toward God. Oh, he loved us so much, he sent his son. I have two sons. I would not send either one of them for anybody. I would go myself, but I wouldn't send my sons. I love them too much, but God loved us so much that he put his son through that. When I was growing up in Alameda, we sang a song a lot called Friendship with Jesus. How many remember that song? It's a friend of Jesus. Oh, what bliss that one so weak as I should ever have a friend like this to lead me to the sky. Friendship with Jesus. Fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. Now look, I understand the difference between a communion service and the kind of communion this song talks about. But what I want to tell you is this communion service keeps us in communion with the Lord, and the friendship and the fellowship is so awesome with the Lord. You know what? He's coming himself, but he's with us every day. He, through the power of the Spirit, is always with us. A friend when other friendships cease, a friend when others fail, a friend who gives me joy and peace, a friend when foes assail. This one used to bother me when I was younger. I think it's more comfort today. A friend when sickness lays me low, a friend when death draws near, a friend is through the veil I go, a friend to help and cheer. And the last verse says, a friend when life's short race is o'er, a friend when earth is past, a friend to meet on heaven's shore, a friend when home at last. This friendship will last a long time, and it'll take us through eternity. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion, Jesus is a friend of mine. What we do because of salvation is we submit to water baptism. Water baptism doesn't save you. It's acknowledging what the Lord's done. Communion doesn't save you. My uncle passed away a number of years ago, and the church he belonged to said, because he's had communion with our church, he's going to go to heaven. And I thought, yeah, he had a relationship with the Lord. That's going to get him to heaven. And that relationship is his hope. This communion will not take you to heaven. But what it will do is remind you of the love and the power and the hope that we have in the Lord. So we submit to water baptism and to Holy Communion. And again, they don't save us, but they do put within our heart a determination to go forward and to believe. If you're sick today, as you take this wafer, just lean on the Lord. I think all of us, just before taking the communion, say, Lord, cleanse me. Then you don't have to worry about it. Purify me, Lord. Forgive all of my sin. I mean, if that's a big concern to you, do that. And then take this and say, Lord, I thank you for erasing my sins and giving me hope that you're coming to get me again. Debbie, would you come to the piano? And I'd like a couple of brothers to come. So in the way of instruction, this little communion pack has a piece of red type cellophane on top. You pull that off first, and there's your wafer. And then the bigger part that folds up, you pull that off, and there's your juice. And again, I use gloves putting these in there. They're perfectly safe and as clean. I mean, I can't say hospital clean, but church clean. So you can partake and feel, and everyone is welcome. Please, if you feel, if you want, please partake. Kids, Evan, it's been a long time. We'll try not to wait so long again. But brethren, if you would, pass these out. Start peeling, you can. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Holy God. I saw on the news last night that one church was stopping the practice of holding hands while you pray. So we won't hold hands while we pray either, but we will pray together. And Brother Bob, would you ask the blessing on the wafer, on the bread? Amen. To your health and healing. And Don, would you ask the blessing over the cup representing the blood? Amen. Would you drink together? Jesus said, and Paul wrote, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of him. Let's just take a moment to fellowship with the Lord. Precious Savior, I pray that you'll touch every heart today, every life. You know those that need a touch in their body, and we pray for healing in Jesus' name. We recognize there is power in the name of Jesus. Power. Power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And it's not power, Lord, that we possess and that we give out. It's power that we ask for. We ask in Jesus' name for the power to break chains of sickness and bad health. We ask, Lord, that you'll minister to every soul. Lord, that your blood washes pure and clean. And today that we stand pure and holy before you, able, Lord, to come into the most holy place and give honor and glory to who you are. We come, Lord, with your purity, not our own, washed by your blood. And we praise you for the blessed assurance. Jesus, you belong to us. And our story and our song is praising you all the time. All the time. Oh, we magnify you. We magnify you, Jesus. Let Calvary Temple be a place of healing and a place of praise and honor and glory to the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, anointing upon our church and upon our people. We pray blessing, Lord, as we go. That we go in your power to be your witnesses. I pray blessing, Lord, for every individual, in every job situation, in every life situation, in every relationship, oh God, that you'll minister help. And let us be a light to this world that we live in. We bring honor and glory to the holy name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the hope. Seeing you again. The trump shall sound, and then we'll go and meet you in the air. We pray in Jesus' name for your blessing and your strength. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. Thank you so much for being a part of our service today. Next week, I'm going to tell you a long story. A long story. But hopefully it will be a blessing of a long story. I won't tell you who it's about. That would give away too much. A long story. God bless you. You may be dismissed.